How about that? Is that better? Hey, there we go. I got to make sure I got all the buttons pushed in the right areas and right ways, and sometimes they don't cooperate. But good morning. Hey, man, look around, give somebody a wave or a smile that says, I'm glad you're here. You're looking good, regardless of what anybody else might say. You look good today. We're so glad that you're joining us at Central Baptist Church today. If you are part of our online audience, as always, we're glad that you're joining us as well. And we just want you to know you're part of our crew here at Central Baptist. Now, our own Dr. John Cazito is visiting his mother today. So you guys are going to have to play nice online with each other. But do say hello and let folks know that you love them, you're glad to see them, you care for them, and all that good stuff along the way. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a warning, because like all good things, some come to an end. Well, that's true with our front projector this morning. I think after 15 years, it finally decided to retire this morning. So what that means is this. In the pew in front of you, you will find this book called a hymnal, okay? So go ahead and reach for it now, because you're going to need it in just a moment as Brad comes up to lead us in song. So if you were hoping that you could see it off the screen today, you're going to be out of luck. So you're going to have to use that book. And he's going to give you a number. How this works, he'll give you a number. You turn to that number, and it's got a song in it. And then you'll see the words to it there. That's good old-fashioned Baptist church. Amen? That's the way we roll. But at any rate, got a lot of things going. I do want to remind you of this. You've seen the baby bottles that are down front. This is the project that we do with the Crisis Pregnancy Center. What you give in these bottles and all across Guilford County goes to provide ultrasounds for those women who are considering abortion. And I love to talk about this number. The upper 90 percentile of young ladies who see that ultrasound choose life over abortion. So that's what this goes to. And we usually take, they call it the baby bottle campaign. You can put, you know, change, checks, cash, whatever you want in that. You'll notice some of them are sitting up here around the offertory table. Today is the day that we collect those. Now, some of you are going, oh, man, I forgot that. You can still bring it by the office sometime this week. We'll make sure that it gets put in there. But we're not going to have a special collection time for those. But if you have your bottle, before you leave today, if you'll just put it right down here on the offertory table, and then we will move those over to be turned in. And they're turned in just like they are. So we let the Crisis Pregnancy Center take the joy of counting all that, and then later on they let us know how much is collected through this particular offering. So that's just a couple things. Also, I want to say this. I want to say to start off with, Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. We do realize that today is that special day where we honor dads. We'll do that here in just a few moments. But let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of worship together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that we can be in your house. Lord, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to be still in your presence. And Lord, as always, we know that old Satan doesn't want us to hear what you have to say for us today. And Father, we also realize that your word does not return void. So I pray, Father, that today we would truly give an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit will speak to us on a personal level, on a personal basis, to meet us right where we are in our walk and in life. So today, Father, help us to put aside any distractions. We know that there's probably a lot of busyness that will be going on today. But Father, for these moments, help us to just take a deep breath and enjoy your presence in a greater way than we have maybe for a while. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us courage to act and to react on what it is that you say to each and every one of us. And then, Lord, help us as we lift up our voice in song for it to truly be an act of worship to you. Lord, not just because we don't have anything else we could do today, but Lord, to lift up our voice in song is a tremendous way to be able to praise and to worship you this morning. So, Father, bless us in all that we do, and may each and everything that is said and done magnify and glorify you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning and happy Father's Day, and please pick up your hymn book, turn to hymn number 135, and we're going to sing the first, second, and the fourth verses. Please stand as we sing Nothing But the Blood.
Oh,
333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Just to let you know, we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Genesis chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me this morning. Before we get started, I know last week we took the time to recognize those who are our graduates. And we had one of our graduates that was not able to be with us because he was tending to his father in the emergency room, and so we're going to blame Mark for that, but good to see you out there, brother. I'm glad things are working a little bit better for you, but I didn't want this opportunity to go by without us taking a moment to recognize Michael Vernon. He is another one of our graduates. Michael, come on down for just a minute. Michael has done some pretty impressive things over his, I'll call it his academic career. He will be graduating from GTCC, and then he also will be graduating, and let me see if I get this right, the apprenticeship program. You'll graduate from that in August. Yeah. So I know there's two of them, GTCC and the apprenticeship program, and he did something that parents love. You know, he got that apprenticeship so that they would pay for his school, and all God's parents said, amen. So, Michael have you already done you already graduated with the AA, right? GTCC?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, he already did that, but he will have an associate's in information technology, and even as the old country boy says, mo better than that. He finished his apprenticeship, and he was hired as a software developer. So let's give our congratulations to Michael. And as always, just a little something for you. And I told people, I said, one of the most special gifts for me that I ever got when I graduated from high school, which was a long time ago, was my church gave me a Bible that I still have. And they told me that was the directions for life. I still have that, and I graduated in 1984, so that tells you. I can't quite see it as good as I used to, but I still have it. So we always like to present that as well to our graduates, and it has it's a fancy one. It's got a seal and everything else on it, so I'll write in it for you, but I want you to break the seal first. So once you do that, you bring that back to me, and I'll put that as from Central Baptist Church. Congratulations, brother. We love you. We're looking so forward. And you keep mama and daddy straight. Thank you, Michael. I couldn't let this moment go by without honoring our graduates, because it's a big deal. I mean, I can still remember. I said before, it's not like when I was younger, you didn't have a preschool graduation and then a primary school graduation and a middle school graduation. You had one graduation. You had to make it through the 12th grade before you ever saw a graduation. And then, of course, like I say, if you go on, it's even more special to have that those moments of being able to graduate from college. So we're tickled to death for Michael. Carson also graduated last week, so we just kind of spread it out over both weeks. Like I said, we don't sit back and say, well, you missed it, you're not here. No, so we appreciate and love those guys. Now, today we also want to take time to honor dads that are among us, because what a great, great privilege that we have. So as always, we would like, if you are a father, whether you're a member here or not, if you are a dad, please stand if you would. We've got a little gift we would like to give you on behalf of Central Baptist Church. And this really pretty lady and this handsome young man will find you along the way. Once they give you your little gift, you can sit down. That way we will know that we have covered everybody, and we're tickled to death to have you with us. We thank you for what you do. We thank you for the responsibilities that God has placed in your life, and for the children, a lot of them that I've had an opportunity to actually see grow up from the times that they were little and through school, and watched them do things like graduate from school, watched them do things like get married and have children of their own. And that just means you got a few more gray hairs in your head. You got a few more gray hairs in your head to prove those things. But at any rate, that's my boy right there passing them out, and my wife back there, in case you were curious about that. So I'm not a proud dad, not one single bit. But he was five when I started pastoring here in church, and he getting ready to cross another decade mark this coming day. But guys, dads, thank you so much for all that you do on behalf of Central Baptist Church, as well as each and every one of us individually. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your discipline. Let's give our dads a hand today. Sometimes people say, well, dads don't get recognized quite like moms. Well, that's just, that's part of the experience. It goes with the turf that way, so you just better get used to it. But at any rate, we want to look at some biblical passages this morning that essentially give us another model father. Now, our Father in heaven is the best father. There's no way that anybody could sit back and say there's a better father than that. But as far as a good earthly example, we want to look today at some passages that deal with a great father, the father whose name was Noah. Now, most of us know this story inside and out, but it's going to come out of Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to use some verses out of there, but I'm also going to rely on the fact that a lot of you know this particular story. So I want to go ahead and just talk about what, the whole situation was when Noah was on the face of this earth. So Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. It says this. It says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak loudly and mightily to each and every one of us today. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word speaks. It's a living word. It is quick and powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, today, may we learn some things about Noah. Lord, may we look at his example. And, Father, for those of us who are dads, may we see that it wasn't an easy task for Noah either. But, Lord, may we walk in the footsteps that we truly might be called a just man who walks with God. So, Lord, use me as your messenger for these moments that you and you alone would be truly lifted up. Draw all men unto you, Father. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of us know this part of it. We know what was taking place. We know what was going on. Could you imagine what that day must have been like when God looked out over his creation and he said that he regretted the fact that he had even made man? I mean, that's how bad things had gotten in the days of Noah. Now, we also know that prophecy tells us that when he returns to take us out of here, it says the days will be like the days of Noah. We saw what was taking place. There was increase in population. There was increase in crime. There was increase in technology. Just all these things that are taking place. And God looked at it and he said, wow, man, look at what this has become. But today we want to look at the story of a great father. And I want you to understand today that when we look at all of the things that Noah did, now I know as I say Noah, you think and conjure up in your heart and your mind these wonderful things. Most of us will sit back and we'll say, Noah was the one that God had to create the ark and they were saved. Listen, that was not Noah's greatest accomplishment. Noah's greatest accomplishment was his family's faith. And I want you to understand that. I think that's incredible. And why? Because the lines get blurred in our society today. Now, I think it is admirable that as dads, we want our children to succeed. We want them to be a notch above. We want them to not have to go through some things that we've gone through. We don't want to see them go down the tough and grueling paths if we can help that. And too often what happens is we put so much stock in making sure that they get a good education, which is not a bad thing, that they get a good job, which is not in and of itself a bad thing. But what we do is we find ourselves in a situation where we elevate those things over their faith in God. And folks, let me tell you, the most incredible and the most important thing, guys, that you can do as fathers is to lead your families down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because I've said this before. Yeah, the word tells us that we are only a vapor that appeareth for a short while and then vanisheth away. We are not going to be on this earth for very long in the grand scheme of all of eternity. We're going to spend a whole lot more time either with the Father or in hell itself. So which is more important? Laying up your treasures here on this earth, trying to do things that are earthly, or trying to be the best example that you can be? Now, if I were to ask you and said, what would you say that Noah's greatest accomplishment was? You probably wouldn't have said the faith of his family. You probably would have said, oh, he followed the Lord and he built the ark. Yep, he did. But that was not the greatest accomplishment in his life. The greatest accomplishment was the faith of his sons. You know, a great father. A father of all who basically are now living. And I want you to know that raising a family back in Noah's time was very difficult. Now, if you're a dad today, you sit back and say, it's difficult today. And it is. It is. There are so many things that are pressing on our young people today. There are so many people. And then what happens is often we have been surrounded in the I'll call it the protective custody of the church and protective custody of those who are believers. And then what happens is often our young people go off to college and they are bombarded with so many counter-scriptural views, and then their faith gets shaken. And often their faith gets shaken simply because they're not depending on their relationship with God. They're not depending on their experience with how God has shown up in their life. They've heard about it all their life. They have seen how God has worked in mama's life and daddy's life and somebody else's life, but they never experienced it. Remember what I said so many times about Thomas? We give Thomas that bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. And man, I was that way for years and years. It took me a long time to give Thomas the benefit of the doubt. Now, what was the benefit of the doubt? The benefit of the doubt was, yeah, we all know that Thomas said, I won't believe it until I can see Jesus myself. I won't believe it until I can touch those nail-pierced hands, until I can put my hand in his side. Now, I believe with all of my heart that the reason that he said that was simply this. He wasn't willing to go on what everybody else said. He wasn't willing to go on what everybody else's experience was. He wanted to experience Jesus for himself. Because the plain, simple bottom line is that when Jesus finally did come face to face with Thomas, he didn't scold him. He didn't sit back and say, how dare you? You spent time with me and then you were doubtful. No, no, he said to Thomas this. He said, come here. Go ahead and touch these nail-scarred hands. He said, go ahead, put your hand into my side. And the greatest part about that was simply this. At that particular point and that particular moment, Thomas really experienced Jesus. And when he did, he never looked back. Thomas never doubted after that. In fact, Thomas died a martyr for the cause of Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. If you want to walk with the Lord in the way that you should, you need to be experiencing God on a daily basis in your life. Because that is going to solidify who you are in Christ and who he is in you. And yes, it was a very, very difficult time for him to be raising children. And I guess we probably, like most people back in that day, would have thought Noah was crazy. You know, imagine what those boys must have thought. Mom, what's dad doing? Well, according to him, he is building an ark. Well, what's an ark? He's building a big ship. Oh, in the backyard? That's a big ship, man. When you think about it, I mean, the word tells us how big this thing was. Man, it was probably bigger than the Love Boat. I'm dating myself on that one. Maybe not some of your newer Carnival ships or Royal Caribbean, but it was a big boat. And then they were sitting there thinking, how's he even going to get it to the water? We're not anywhere near the water. Dad has lost his cotton-picking mind. Hey, dads, how many times, they may not have said it to you, some of them may have, but your children have thought that you have lost your cotton-picking mind. Uh-huh. Yeah, and yeah, some of your children are sitting back going, oh, yeah, that's right. And you didn't know it. So it was a very, very tough situation. And if you look at verse 5 of our text, this was the age of wickedness and the days of evil thinking that was going on. Does that not sound like headline news today? You look and all you see is people at each other continually today. I mean, and the sad part is that's even coming into the Christian culture. You know, we tend to be something that we shouldn't be when we're outside of those that we know and that we love, and it shouldn't be that way because we should be a reflection of Christ wherever we go. Noah was living in the days of corruption, according to verse 11. And not only corruption, but violence was filling the streets. Is that not what's going on now? By the way, you know, the Word also tells us that when the Son of Man comes again, the days will be like the days of Noah. Ooh, how's that weighing out? Okay, wickedness, evil thinking, violence, corruption. So here's the big question. Maybe the question on a lot of dads' minds. So how did Noah succeed as a father in such a time as that? Well, in verses 8 and 9 of our text, we see it. Here you go. You ready? Noah walked with God. That's a real simple statement, isn't it? Noah walked with God. What did that mean? That meant that his relationship was real. It meant that even when things seemed utterly crazy, Noah had faith in what God was telling him to do. Imagine the ridicule that he went through. And I mean, the scripture kind of points that out, you know, what people were saying. Not only his children. So imagine the pressure. Here's Noah. He's building this big ship in the backyard, and people are coming by and laughing. Imagine what his children must have thought, what his boys must have thought. They're like, man, Dad, people are staring. Can't you put something up? Can't you, people are laughing at you. They don't like that. And then all of a sudden, they would sit back and go, hey, Ham, what's up with your daddy? What do you mean? Is the man lost his mind? Well, how so? Well, he's building a big boat in the backyard, nowhere near water. It's huge. And then I don't know what his children must have said, but, I'm sure that there were some times when they said, well, dad's a little different. Yeah, dad's a, yeah, he's a little strange. But, hey, who knows? Maybe someday we'll get to sail on the boat. They had no idea of what was coming, but Noah did. Noah knew. He didn't know all the details. Listen, how many of you all does God let in on every detail? How many of you all would like for God to let you in on every detail? Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like Abraham. God says, Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham says, great. Where? I'll show you. Oh, that drives me nuts. You ever had that happen to you? Yeah, you ask somebody something. You want detail. No, Lord, listen. We're getting ready to go on this journey. Where's the fuel stop? Where are we going to eat? That's important. Yeah, what are we going to pack? Where are we going to put the luggage? What's the agenda like? Yeah, you want to know all these things. Where are my very organized type A people? Come on, let me see you. Okay, I would drive some of y'all nuts. Yeah, you want that itinerary and schedule. How many of you type A people that just raised your hand have people in your life that don't know what a pencil and a piece of paper or a schedule is? And then they come to you and what they say is, hey man, let's go out for a drive. And you say, where are we going? They say, for a drive. We don't have no destination in mind. And y'all are like, oh. We got to have a destination. We got to know where we're going. We got to have some place that we're going. Well, we're just going out for a drive. Who knows? We may wind up at the coast. Ah! Do you have a hotel room? No, we'll see if we get one when we get down there. And it's just like oil and water. They don't mix, do they? Yeah, and so what happens is you want to know all the details. Folks, let me tell you, God does not want to give you the details simply because he's trying to get you to trust him one step at a time. One day at a time. By the way, in the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Not give us this week or give us this month or anything to that nature. And yet, here's old Noah. And I'm sure that in my country way, and you country people are going to understand this, there was a lot of people that walked by Noah's house and said, bless his heart. And you know what that means, right? Yeah, they're like, this man's crazy. So he's building this ship, and he's got these boys. And the thing about it is, he loved his family. He loved his children. So first thing you got to understand is that Noah walked with God. If you are ever going to raise a spiritual and a godly family, you yourself better be walking with God. Not telling your kids you need to go to church. You need to be taking them there. You need to be representing there as well. Because I will say this, and if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this today. What is important to you will be important to your children. Plain and simple. If spiritual things and if a walk with the Lord, if it is not important to you, it will not be important to your children. Are you hearing me? They're going to watch and see what you do. They're going to watch at what takes priority in your life. Okay? Are spiritual things a priority in your family? What are the things that you are putting ahead of God? And some of you, the Holy Spirit just said this, 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 and this. You're putting that ahead of God. Well, if you put anything that you put ahead of God, you make a God. And commandment number one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, correct? So, and I can't tell you how many times that people have come to me and they said, well, how come my grown children aren't spiritual? I'm like, were you? Sometimes that's a tough conversation to have. And sometimes when I know them, I'll say, here's why they're not involved in spiritual things. because you weren't, because your wife wasn't, because it wasn't something that was a priority in your life. So how do you expect it to be a priority in theirs? So Noah, one of the big ingredients is that he walked with God. That's huge. The work we see in verse 3 of that passage, and I started at verse 5, but I want you to read that because it's talking about, you know, what was going on. I want to encourage you to read that whole chapter. But there was the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, you know, and he began to seek God, and he responded to God's grace in his life. And he came to faith. He was a believer. Noah was a just man. He was declared righteous. If you go over into the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it is called the Faith Hall of Fame, and you're going to notice old Noah gets mentioned, okay? I'm going to carry you over there real quick just to read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says this. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. I want you to pay careful attention to that. For the saving of his household. He didn't build that ark for anybody else. It was for his household. The saving of his household, the verse continues, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Wow, that's pretty impressive. When you make the Faith Hall of Fame, it's kind of interesting. So Noah was just. He was declared righteous by his faith. His relationship with God, it says, was wholehearted. It was perfect. Now, I know some of y'all are sitting back going, nobody's perfect, and you're right. Nobody is perfect, but perfect being wholehearted. In other words, he was serious about his relationship with the Father. That makes a lot more sense when I say it that way, doesn't it? He was serious about it. You see, I know a lot of people who dabble in spirituality. I know a lot of people who dabble in Christianity, but they're not wholeheartedly following the Savior. Yeah, Jesus is something you've just kind of tacked on for when it's convenient. Folks, let me tell you, that's dangerous, dangerous territory. But Noah had a relationship with God that was classified as wholehearted. Or some, if you're using a different translation, it may use the word perfect, but that's what it means. He was serious about it. You can see that in our text in verse 9. Now, the thing about Noah was he was consistent in devotional and daily living. He walked with God. You know what one of the greatest problems I see today of the American Christian is that we walk with God on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is a completely different story. You know, we come in and we live like spiritual people amongst ourselves and then live like hell itself on the outside. And when people look at us, they would never be able to know that we are Christians. The Word says you will know they're Christians by their love. You will know them by their activity. And I've said this 1,000 times and will say it again. Even unbelievers know how believers should act, how they should walk, how they should talk. I've actually seen a professing Christian get called on the carpet by a non-believer, and the non-believer was right. He said, you know what? I'm not a Christian, but I know that Christians don't act the way that you're acting. And then, of course, the Christian counterpart looked at me and said, oh, yes, I do. You can ask the preacher right there. Do you think I backed him up? I said, no, that's not the way Christians are supposed to behave. And I said, none of us are perfect. We mess up. But, you know, we can certainly do a whole lot better when we try, can't we? And Noah walked with God. Noah had conversations with God. Listen, what do you and I have? Are you and I spending some time with God? If you love somebody, you enjoy spending time with them, don't you? You like hanging around them. You know, you like going and doing things with them, and they're a joy in your life. That's the way, you know, families ought to be. You know, when you take off and you go maybe on vacation or you do things together and you enjoy life together, that's what you want to be. You spend time together. If you have a relationship with God, you need to spend time with Him. How much time? Now, I don't want you to answer me out loud. I want you to answer the Holy Spirit that is speaking to your heart right now. How much time do you spend with God every day? How much time do you spend in His Word, His love letter to you, getting to know Him? How much time do you spend? How many things in your life need to be reprioritized so that the Father becomes the priority and everything else becomes subservient to that? Let me make you a promise. If you get those priorities right, there'll be plenty of time for the other things. And you will grow in God's grace like never before. So when we consider Noah and we think about, you know, what was going on in his life, we think about what the ingredients were that made him the man that he was. One of the things that we see is that he spent time with God. The second thing that we see is that Noah witnessed to other people. Now, I took you over to Hebrews 11:7 a little while ago. You know, we think about God's description of Noah, and I want you to kind of get a comparison between God's description of Noah and Noah's neighbors, okay? Noah's neighbors were identified in the Bible as being corrupt. They were identified as being violent. They were identified as being wicked. They were identified as being evil. Now, this was by God Almighty Himself. That's what He called Noah's neighbors. But what did He say about Noah? He said that Noah was a just man. He said Noah was perfect or complete. Okay? He said Noah walked with God. That's a big time compare and contrast, isn't it? Yep. This is all those around Noah. This is Noah. This is what God saw in the man who walked with Him. Peter actually said that he was a preacher of righteousness over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He told others of their sins, and he pointed them to God. Now, imagine doing that in the world in which he lived. Some of you all sit back and say, you know, I understand what it's like to try to do that in this world today. You'll get shouted down, you'll be canceled out, you'll have all these different things. But yet Noah told other people about their sins. He was preaching it, folks. And the bottom line is this: I don't care if you change the name of it. I don't care what you do with it. Sin is still sin. You can't put lipstick on a pig and call it anything but a pig. Sin is sin, okay? If the Bible says, thou shalt not, then thou shalt not. Sometimes I don't understand how people will try. They'll sit back and say, well, yes, I'm a believer, but they will be doing something that is so heinously against God's word. And I'm sitting back going, okay, if you say that, then what is the Holy Spirit telling you about this particular activity in your life when the word right here says, thou shalt not do that? There should be conviction in your heart. And folks, the bottom line is, as a Christian, you can't just parse God's word out. You have to take it from Genesis to maps. You can't just believe in this part and then leave that part out. But Noah, the crazy man building the boat in the backyard, is telling people that they're sinning and that they need to repent. And he was in a huge minority. Now, let me tell you one of the real sad parts of this story of Noah is that he lived righteously and he walked with God. As he went out and he told others about sin in their lives and told them they needed to repent, the thing about it is he had no converts outside of his own family. He preached for decades, and not a soul that we know of, according to the word, except his family, came to know God. Could you imagine how disappointing that must have been? Yeah, I've been preaching for like 33 years, okay? I know I don't look it, but I've been preaching about 33 years. What if I could sit back and I was sitting down, you know, with a pulpit committee of Central Baptist Church, and they said, oh, I see you've been preaching for 33 years. Yeah, I have. Well, how many people have come to know the Lord under your ministry? Three. In 30-some years, you've only led three people to Jesus? That's right. Oh. Well, was that in your last church? No, they weren't part of the church. Oh, was it an evangelistic thing that you... No, it wasn't that either. Well, what was special about these three people? Well, they're my sons. Oh. You know, I said this, man. If you love somebody, sometimes you'll feel sorry for them. You'll try to help them out. You know, his family thought, well, you know what? Let's make Dad happy. Let's come to know God. But it wasn't that way. They really trusted in God. Didn't mean they didn't have their problems just like the rest of us. But, man, when you look at his track record, he didn't get to see the fruit of what he did he? Could you imagine how discouraging that would be? Could you imagine preaching and giving, preaching from the heart, giving everything that you had, and nobody except your own family coming to know the Lord? I've always said that God's got a really interesting sense of humor, doesn't he? I often look about, you know, you get guys like Jeremiah who really had a heart for his people, and he preached. I mean, when that guy preached, he preached with heart and soul, and people didn't like his preaching or anything else and wouldn't come to know the Lord, wouldn't do it. And then you got Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to them people. Sure, Lord, no problem. I'm out. And then all of a sudden, the Lord's like, Jonah, you're going the wrong way. Nineveh is that way. Kept on going. Remember, he got a submarine ride by big fish back to Nineveh because he was going the wrong way. And we know the scripture tells us he did not like the Ninevites. He hated them. God, you're asking me to go preach to a bunch of people I can't stand? I'm going to do it, but I'm only going to do it halfway. And I don't want to do it halfway. I don't want to do it at all. Remember, he went in and basically preached, repent. I'm sure he didn't even have 3 points in a poem. He probably said, look, y'all, look at here. Here's what's happening. God said, y'all got 40 days to turn or burn. Have a nice day. Oh, excuse me. Let's close in prayer. And then the whole town repents. The preacher don't even like the people, and they all repent. God uses Jonah in a successful way, and he's mad. Let me tell you something. If I preached a sermon and the whole town of Oak Ridge repented, Lord have mercy. I'd probably die of happiness. But Jonah didn't do that because he hated people. Poor old Noah. Preached all those years, followed God, was a great example to his children, and they're the only ones who came to know how God is. How discouraging that must have been for him. Nevertheless, he stayed true to God, and he stayed true to the work that he had given him. His family saw his faithful walk and followed it. Did you hear what I'm saying? His family saw his faithful walk, and they followed it. Dad, are you picking up what I'm putting down? Your children will see your faithful walk, and they will follow you because they want to be just like you. Now, you have a little trouble in those teenage years because you don't know anything at that point. They know everything. You don't know anything. But you know what? You have set the precedent in training them in the ways of the Lord so that when they're old, they will not depart from it. And sometimes you have to rely on that promise from God. But Noah was a good example. Noah won his family. Chapter 7, verses 1 and verse 7 talk about how when the time came, his family came into the ark. And we can see the metaphor there, how the ark, you know, represented salvation to Noah and to his family. And we understand how Jesus is salvation for you and I. Chapter 7, verse 1, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." The most important thing that he could have done in life was been the godly example to his family. And he was successful. See, Noah's family members were his only converts. He wasn't a great preacher, but he was a great practicer. He wasn't a great financier, but he was a great father. What a day for Noah as his entire family entered into the ark. I think of that song that we sing, and I hope it's still sang around, but most of us in this room know it. Will the circle be unbroken? I think about that family circle, the people that you know, the people that you love, and the people that you care. Listen, do you care enough to bring them to Jesus? Listen, that is the most important thing that you will do. And I know, listen, I know people sit back and say, "Well, you know, I'd like to talk to Aunt Harriet, but Aunt Harriet just, I don't want to make Aunt Harriet mad." Listen, it's time you made a few people mad for the cause of the gospel. Because let me promise you this, if Aunt Harriet doesn't accept Jesus when you're standing there, Aunt Harriet's going to look you in the eye and say, "Why didn't you tell me about Jesus?" And remember, you're going to be there a whole lot longer than you're going to be here. Do you know that your family has placed their trust in Jesus? It's not too late. Some of you may say, "Oh, well, you know, I messed that up as a dad, and they're adults now." You know what? You can always go back and say, you know what? Here's exactly what you say. "Look, I messed things up as a dad when you were growing up, but this is the most important thing that I can share with you. The absolute most... Your job is not going to matter when you enter the kingdom of heaven. Your status is not going to matter when you enter into the kingdom of heaven. The size of your house isn't going to matter when you enter into the kingdom of heaven. What you drive, the numbers in your bank account, what people, the accolades people give you, they don't amount to anything when you step into the kingdom of heaven. Only the things that are done for the Lord will be the things that will last. If the Lord were to call us out of here right now, some heathen's going to live in your house. Some heathen's going to drive your car. Some ungodly situation is going to all of a sudden take possession of your bank account. And all the fun things that you worked so hard to accumulate won't matter. I've shared this one before, but it was kind of funny. I heard an old preacher tell a joke one day about a fellow that was, it was all about what it was here on earth, his money and what he did and everything. And he was so stingy and so greedy, he told his family, he said, "I want to be buried with all my money." And so they obliged and they buried him with all of his money. And then, of course, you know how the jokes go. You know, all of a sudden, this guy's in the kingdom of heaven. He's got this wheelbarrow and he's pushing his money in the wheelbarrow down the streets of heaven, just grinning from ear to ear, and he notices people laughing at him. And he can't figure it out, and finally he walks by these two old boys in heaven that start laughing, and one's bending over just laughing as hard as he can, and he looks up the other, and he said, "Hey, man, check this guy out. He brought up a load of pavement with him to heaven." Because remember the streets of gold? This guy brought up a load of pavement, and that's all it is to it. Just a load of pavement. Where are you storing up your treasures? As we think about this particular passage, as we think about the life of Noah, this is not an easy time to be a father, is it, dads? There are pressures, there are stresses from so many different places. It's not an easy time to be a father. The word says that as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. But God's grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for Noah. It was sufficient for fathers then. It is sufficient for fathers now. And may God enable us to win our families to Christ. I know this. I know that when I step into the kingdom of heaven, there's a whole bunch of people that I call my family that are going to be there to greet me. My grandma's going to be there. My dad's going to be there. I could just name off a list of people, people I've known and loved from this church who are cheering me on from the other side of glory. People I know and love that meant so much to my life. But they meant so much because they cared about me. They cared enough to say, without Jesus, your life is nothing, and your eternity is nothing. Do you care? May God enable us to win our families to Christ. Let us walk with God. Let us keep our witness for Christ consistent. We need to have a good walk. Yeah, something about consistency. That's one of the biggest things when it comes to athletics as coaches. Have you ever noticed that? You know what a coach wants to see? A coach wants to see consistency. You don't want to see a team go out one day and you know, could beat a professional team, and then the next day come out and they couldn't win against the Bad News Bears. They want to see consistency. That means that you're right. That doesn't mean that every day is a good day. You're going to have some hard days. But consistency in your walk, when people look around you, do they know you're a Christian? Do they see the consistency in who you are? Can we do that as we go forward? And let us expect our families. Let's have an expectation that our families will come to know Jesus. I've said this before. People always say, yeah, every time you preach, do you expect, you know, somebody to come know the Lord? Yes, I do. Not because I'm some phenomenal preacher, but because the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and His Word is alive and well, and it does not return void. Do I expect people to come to know Christ? I do. Do I expect people to turn their life around and walk with Him? Yes, I do. Because the Father also has expectations of His children. We got to get past this 2026 thing where nobody's responsible for their own actions. You know, it's always, you ever notice it's always somebody else's fault? Well, it's not my fault, it's his fault, or her fault. Listen, own your stuff and get moving. You're not perfect, nobody is. And people do make mistakes, but you know what? What's important to you is what shines forth in your life as you go forward. And dads, you have been given an incredible responsibility to lead your family. Imagine it like this. What would you say? And I had a conversation with a guy one day, and I said, what if one of your three beautiful daughters didn't make it to the kingdom of heaven? He said, that would devastate me. I said, well, you know what? Now is the time. I said, you can't trust Jesus for somebody, but you can raise them in such a manner that the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart loudly and clearly. I've always shared this because it makes sense. And it makes sense to a lot of people in this room today that when I was growing up, I didn't have the choice to stay home. And I always talked about, you know, the wonderful world of Disney and how that was the thing. That was back in the days of three channels, rabbit ears. But Disney was a big deal for kids in elementary school. And it came on Sunday nights. I think it was 6 o'clock. And right about the time that little I want to say fairy, but it's Tinkerbell would fly around with that wand and do the thing, and stuff would go. I was like, oh man, I'd love to be watching this. We were heading to church, and I got so irritated because I didn't see all the things that the wonderful world of Disney had to put forth. But everybody on Monday was talking about it, and literally they would be going, "You didn't watch Disney?" I'm like, "No." "Why did you not watch Disney?" "Well, because I was in church." "You were what?" "Yeah, I was in church." And you know what? For a while, I hated that. I didn't like that. Because I felt like I was missing out on something. But all these years later, little did my parents know that there would be such a thing as VHS, DVDs, live stream, all those kind of technologies. But you know what? I can go back and watch how old Yeller died today, but I couldn't go back and get what I got as I was raised in the church. I'm grateful that I didn't know what the wonderful world of Disney was like. And that my parents, even though I got uptight with them, were the parents that said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's not too late, dads. Future dads, listen, let me tell you something. The most interesting day, I'll call it interesting day in your life as a dad, is when they hand you your child. Your son or your daughter, and there ain't but two. It's either a son or a daughter. They're going to hand you either your son or your daughter, and that child's going to depend on you for everything. Food on the table, shoes on their feet, everything, emotional support, everything. They're going to depend on you for that. Changes your life, doesn't it? Changes your life. Not, hey, listen, it does with moms too. Moms, you guys carry a tremendous burden in nurturing that child. I've always said this, when they want to play, they want tossed around in the air by dad, but when they bust their lip open on the coffee table, they run to mom. We have roles, that's the way it goes. But dads, listen, I love you. I appreciate you. I don't want you to stand someday in the presence. And listen, if you have a strained relationship between you and your dad, you and your sons or whatever, hey, fix it today. Suck it up. Be a big enough person to say, look, whatever it may be, if you know what it is, call it out. If you don't know what it is, say, look, I don't even know why we've been mad at each other for the last 20 years, but I don't want it to be that way anymore. Be the bigger man. Show your love. Show you care. Be like Noah. I can see him now. I believe with all my heart that when Noah looked God straight in the eye, God said to him, "Well done, Noah." And Noah probably said, "Well, look, man, you know, my ministry wasn't that good. My preaching wasn't that good. It was just my family." God's going to say, "Well done, Noah. You did exactly what I called you to do, and here you go. You were faithful. Faithful to do what I asked you to do." And that, my friend, is what makes all the difference. He was obedient to the Father. And we know how the story goes. The rains came down and the floods came up. That'll be a children's song. Rains came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and the floods came up. Yeah, okay. So God had the animals, led them there. They all got on the big boat that everybody was laughing at Noah about building. Probably in some ways his sons too. And those were the same ones that were beating on the side of the ark to be delivered. But Noah couldn't open the door. Because Noah didn't close the door. God Almighty Himself shut the door. Wow. Someday, the door will close. Someday, we will close our eyes on this earth. And someday, we will see Jesus. Do you stand ready to face Him today? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up as we prepare for our invitation. I always say it's not my invitation, it is the Lord's invitation to you. My first question is, have you trusted Jesus? Is He your Father in heaven? I didn't ask if you were a good person, a wealthy person, a notable person, didn't ask how much church work you've done. I want to know if you have a relationship with the Lord, that you walk with Him and that you talk with Him and that you spend time with Him, and you have come to the point in your life at some point where you said, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner, and sin is what sends me to hell. So, Father, today I am confessing my sin to You. I am asking You to save my soul, forgive my sin, and help me to live for You. Have you done that? I would challenge you to make sure that you know Christ as your Savior before you leave. If you've never trusted Jesus, now is the time. You can simply ask Him into your heart by saying, Father in heaven, today, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm on my way to hell. But thank You, Father, for Jesus. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, You will deliver me. Lord, I give my life to You. And ask that You help me live for You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you did and you asked the Lord to come into your heart, that's just the beginning. He has, but he has some expectations of us as well as His children. Listen, if you trusted Christ when we start to sing, just come down here and tell me. Say, preacher, look, I trusted Jesus today. We want to help get you off on the right start. And we're not going to embarrass you or anything. I mean, we're just so glad. We want to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's just giving you a swift kick in the britches. A lot of us need a swift kick in the britches at times, don't we? And there's some things that you just need to make right with Him. Some things that you just need to sit back and say, Lord, you know what? You know, I've messed up some things here, but you know, thanks to You, You've given me a chance. And Lord, help me to make these things right. You can do that. The altar's here. I am here. Whatever it is that God's placed on your heart, you do business with Him. While the Spirit is speaking loudly as we stand and sing our invitation hymn. Brad, you come.
Number 282, Living for Jesus.
your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, don't let the moment of the Holy Spirit in your heart and your life get away from you. Make it right with Him before you leave this place today. As you continue to seek the Lord, I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, you're so good to us, and we're grateful and thankful for the provision that you provide to our families. And Lord, I pray that you will help us as we worship you by giving back to you that portion that you have so graciously blessed us with. And Lord, may you help us to be good stewards of what's yours, that it may be used to enhance your kingdom. As Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vivi. Let me give you a couple of announcements, and then we'll get you on out the door. We do have some birthdays coming up. You don't have the screen. I hate that you don't get to see them. But tomorrow, Eddie Pegg will be having a birthday back there. I asked him about marrying that young lady he married. But anyway, happy birthday, Eddie. It's coming up for Eddie tomorrow. Then on Tuesday, we have actually three of them. Brianna Anderson, she's over there with the kids, but she'll have a birthday on Tuesday, as well as Cassidy Bailiff Donald. She'll be celebrating another birthday, as well as Georgie Queen. So Georgie's got one coming up this coming Tuesday. We do have some anniversaries that are coming up this week. We've got Diane and Mickey Garrison on Wednesday. They'll be celebrating their anniversary. And then on Tuesday, we actually have two different sets of couples that will be celebrating an anniversary. Debbie and Jim McDonald will be celebrating their anniversary on Tuesday, as well as Terry and Jim Kreider. So when you see them, be sure to give them a happy anniversary. And then I am showing that Saturday is Doris and Don Wright's anniversaries. Don's over probably in the camera room making sure that we're broadcasting, but happy anniversary or birthday to each and every one that we've had that opportunity to mention today. Don't forget, if you got your baby bottles, you can put them down here. We will relocate them to the other building to make sure they get turned in. If you forgot it today, just let us know. I'm sure that you could bring it by the church sometime this week, and we'll make sure that it gets in there before the fella comes by to pick them up. No choir practice until August the 2nd. It's summer hiatus, just as a reminder, but you're still going to be singing on Sundays whether you like it or not, so you be sure to be here for that. No Bible study until July 5th, and then from 7 to 9, the wind ensemble will be practicing over in the gym, specifically for their 4th of July presentation. Monday, Steve's D-Life Discipleship Group will meet here at the Family Life Center, 6 to 8. This will be the last D-Life session until August the 3rd, and the same will be true of Mari's D-Life group that will meet at their house at 6:30, and this will be their final meeting because everybody's going on vacations and heading out for the summer, so that'll be till the 3rd of August. On Wednesday, as always, at 10 o'clock, there's the men's breakfast at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. If you can make it out there, that's a good agenda. Eat and fellowship. That's the best way to do it. Few future things we've got coming up. We've got the CBC serving Camp Carefree, and we've got some dates on that. It's showing, I got 6/28, 6 to 8, and then 6/29 through 7/2. That's going to be 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Doing the meals for them. Then on showing 7/3 from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to David. He can let you know about serving at Camp Carefree. July the 3rd, there will be a practice for the 4th of July. I'm assuming that's going to be the wind ensemble that's going to be practicing from 5 to 9. Is that correct? Is that wind ensemble? Okay. I heard a yes. Okay, yeah. Wind ensemble practice July 3rd from 5 to 9 for the 4th of July celebration, which will be 2 to 3:30. There'll be music, hot dogs, apple pie right over there in the gym next door. So we'd love to have you come up for that. July the 7th, I have our bi-monthly blood drive. July the 8th will be the ladies' breakfast at Cagney's. August the 3rd, Steve and Maury's D-Life classes will resume. So these will be the future events, as well as Women's Connections will meet August the 5th at 4 o'clock p.m. in the FLC. The only other thing I can think of to tell you is there are extra donuts back there that you can feel free to take home with you. I think they may be packaged up a little bit, so if you'd like to take some donuts home, I'm going to get there before you, so I'm going to get the ones I want, probably the ones with chocolate on them or cream filling or something like that, because that's me, I'm cream filled. But at any rate, grab you some donuts. Ladies, thank you so much for providing the donuts for the dads today, as well as our fellowship team for doing coffee and everything else along the way. So we love you. We appreciate you. Dads, happy Father's Day. I pray that God will use you in an incredible way now and as you go into the future. May you be a great, when you get to be not just dad, but granddad, keep having that same influence. Pastor David, come up. See us off in a word of prayer. And thank you guys so much. We love you.
Just another word about Camp Carefree. Next Sunday night, we will be at Camp Carefree. It's that quick. It's here. And so if you have signed up, you need to change your time, let me know if about changing your time. If you did not sign up and you want to come and help us cook, you just pick you out a time, a meal, and come find some friends that are cooking and want to come and cook with them. That'll be fine. We will not exclude you from the cooking crew if you want to come and help us cook. You just come and help us. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we're so thankful for our own earthly fathers. Like me, some are here who did not have a father here on earth very long. But we've always had a heavenly Father, and we thank you and praise you for who you are. So, Father, today we pray that families will honor fathers, and we will be obedient to your command to honor our fathers. And at the same time, Lord, that we will honor you with our lives.
Bless us as we go from this place. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.